Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
There are a lot of things that we like to look forward to. Sometimes we look forward to a long weekend. Sometimes we look forward to an evening with friends. Sometimes we look forward to a salted caramel ice cream cone at Village Ice Cream. Lots of things we can look forward to. This week, I discovered I was looking forward to something that I didn't know that I was looking forward to until I found out. Anybody, maybe don't raise your hand, but anybody else have trouble remembering how old you are? It was like, how old am I? Am I 57? Am I 58? And so I actually Googled. I thought, this will be fun. I Googled, how old am I? I put in my birth date, and it told me I'm 57. But it didn't only tell me the years. It told me how old I am. 57, 5 months, however many days, and it narrowed it down to hours and minutes. And then as I looked on it, there was an age calculator. Well, I guess that was the age calculator, but also said how many days old I was. You want to know how old I was on Wednesday? On Wednesday, I was 20,999 days old. Do you ever have a car where you just want to see it roll over? It's like 199,999, and you want to be there for the moment when it rolls over to 200,000, or you want to be there for the moment when it goes to all twos. I wanted to be there for the moment when it was going to roll over on Thursday to 21,000 days old. And so I said to Audra on Wednesday, I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, today I am 20,999 days old. And she said, well, you look it. I'd been so looking forward to Thursday. On Thursday, I texted her later in the day. I said, hey, just remember, today I'm 21,000 days old. And she said, looking good. So I was pretty happy about that. I'm looking forward. Looking forward to having Easter with you, spending Easter with you. I'm looking forward to being together on Good Friday. We're going to have a meal after the service and be inviting people to bring some food if you can to share, and we'll have some other food here. But just on Good Friday, I'm looking forward to being with you. We'll have communion together. The plan right now is Pastor Kathleen's going to bring the message, so we're figuring all of that out. Looking forward to being with you on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday. I'm looking forward to Palm Sunday. That's next Sunday. We're going to have a baby dedication. First. Never guess who the dad is. So I guess there's going to be two triumphal entries that day. But the one that I'm talking about today is Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. And I thought, you know, I'm looking forward to next Sunday with you. But how do you prepare for Palm Sunday? And I thought, I don't think many people do prepare for Palm Sunday unless you're teaching Sunday school. You're making palm trees out of newspaper or whatever. But how do we prepare for Palm Sunday? The Jewish population from all over the region preparing for Passover, they would go up to Jerusalem, which can be anywhere from a 3 to 5 to even a 10-day journey, depending on where they are in the region. And they would go up to Jerusalem. If they were at sea level, Jerusalem is at 2,500, well, it's 2,575 feet above sea level. So you would be going up to Jerusalem. They would make this pilgrimage, and as they would make this pilgrimage, they would recite and they would pray and they would sing and they would declare about 15 psalms from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. And as they're going up, sometimes they're referred to as the pilgrim psalms on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. More often than not, we might refer to them as the Psalms of Ascent, as they're going to Jerusalem. They would declare these psalms, they would sing these songs. Sometimes we understand they would sing antiphonally. So this isn't one of the psalms, but it's a song. Let the Lord be praised. Let the Lord be praised. magnify his name for eternity. Now just this side. For he is the Lord of lords. For he is the Lord of lords. And everyone, he is the Lord. And they would be singing these songs as they're making their ascent to Jerusalem. Jesus would have done this. There's a verse where it says, and he set his face towards Jerusalem. As they made their way to Jerusalem, preparing for what we now know, referred to as Palm Sunday or this triumphal entry, I thought that I'd like to join them. And could we together join them on a pilgrimage this morning? And then all week long, I'd like to invite you to read these psalms, to declare these psalms, to recite these psalms, and maybe even sing a little ditty or two. As you would sing these songs, as we prepare for next Sunday, moving towards, joining with the throng, joining with the crowd of people that would be making their way to Jerusalem. Psalm 120, all the way to Psalm 134, 15 of them. I'm just going to take out a few snippets of these psalms, and you'll see the picture as we journey towards Jerusalem. Psalm 120, verse 1. And 2 says this, in my distress I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Verse 5 says, woe to me, woe is me, that I dwell in Meshach, and I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. The first line of this first psalm says, I'm in trouble. And the last word of the psalm is war. I'm for peace, but they're for war. It talks about living with strangers and foreigners. And even though all I want is peace, all they want to do is fight. They lie to me and they lie about me. And this is where the pilgrims start. And it's an acknowledgement of this. Get me out of here. Get me out of this place of trouble and this place of stress. I'm surrounded with people who just want to fight. And sometimes we can find ourselves in distress. Now, we don't often use the word distress, but dollars to donuts, we use the word stress. And there's a whole lot of stress. You don't hear people saying, oh, I'm in such distress. But we live in a stressed out world. Stress, it's that pressure, that pressure on you and pressure to pull you apart. That's what tribulation means, pulls apart. There's this ripping, this tearing. We live in a culture where so often it looks like people are against God, and by virtue of that, they're against us. Sometimes we discover a whole world against us, and sometimes it feels like our world is falling apart everywhere we look. We cry out, get me out of here. I don't want to stay in this place of trouble anymore. It's actually quite motivating not to be too comfortable in this world. For people of faith, we're not too comfortable to say, you know, everything's just going fine, everything's wonderful, who needs heaven? It's okay to remember, we need rescue, we need a redeemer, this is not our home, get me out of here. Distress reminds us of this, and as we walk through these psalms, we'll discover that we're not just talking about a physical Jerusalem, but there is a new Jerusalem ahead, and we're on a pilgrimage to see the great King. Psalm 121, a few verses in it. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. If we follow down to verse 5, it says, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade, is your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So as they move from the lowlands regions towards Jerusalem, it will start to begin to get hilly. And then as we approach Jerusalem closer, it will look more like mountains to them. We would not acknowledge them as mountains when we look at the Rocky Mountains. But they're bigger hills, and they call them these mountains. And as we approach Jerusalem, sadly, often, over the years and over the centuries, on those hills there would be high places of worship to false gods. There would be Asherah poles, there would be worship of Baal. There would be these high places on tops of the hills. And the psalmist would say, I lift up my eyes to the hills. That's not where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord maker of heaven and earth. I get my eyes off creation and I get them on the creator. And I look up. And as we travel, they declare that the sun's not going to strike us nor the moon by night. He's going to watch over us day and night, now and forever. That must have been so comforting for them as they journeyed to know God was watching out for them. He was watching them and he was watching out for them. And as we consider this week, as we move towards next Sunday, it's so comforting for us that God is watching us and God's just watching out for us. He's watching over us as we journey toward next week. The very same God who watched over them watches over us. Psalm 122. Verse 1, it says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Verse 6 and 7 say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. There's this declaration of joy. In the midst of their circumstance, remember what they're leaving behind, trouble and stress and war. In the midst of that, even just the thought of going to the house of the Lord gets them excited. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Just at the invitation, and it's not going to go alone, let us go. There's a community. Come join us. Come be a part as we go to the house of the Lord. And just the thought of it, oh yeah, yes, get me out of here. Get me there. Then it talks about peace and prosperity. That's a long way. We've just come away from a few psalms ago about trouble and stress. But it's talking about praying for the peace of Jerusalem and prosperity within her walls. And so it's not just that we're expecting peace and prosperity, but we get to pray into it. And that's for us today too. We don't just expect peace and prosperity, we pray into it. And this morning at 9:30, we gathered in the boardroom, which we turned into a prayer room. If you'd like to come and join us, we're there for 45 minutes from 9:30 to quarter after 10, praying. You have been prayed for this morning. Wherever you're sitting, you've been prayed for, because we prayed over every chair. You've been prayed for this morning. We don't just expect joy in the house of the Lord. We are praying for it and declaring it and standing on God's word. An open heaven for our church as we pray. We're part of establishing it. We move on to Psalm 123. We're reminded, we declare this again. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Remember, we're getting our eyes off the hills, off the idolatry. We're looking to the creator, not the creation. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Verse 4 says, our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. We don't forget. We don't forget the trouble, but we're lifting up our eyes. Not to the hills, not to what we can see, because we walk by faith, not by sight. And we do remember. On this journey, we do remember those. There are those people who look down on us because of our faith. They look at us with contempt. We acknowledge that. But as they look down on us, we're looking up to him. We can face this in our workplaces. We can face this in our schools, in our communities. Loved ones, we can face this with our family and friends. We were chatting at the men's night that happens on the alternate Wednesday nights, and one of the guys was talking about Easter and family gatherings, and how not everything is friendly towards people of faith at family gatherings. You believe in Noah's Ark? Come on, get real. You believe in that antiquated book, the Bible? That's so out of touch, so out of date. And look down, even with contempt, at our faith. And even though we experience that, we remember this, we're looking up. We're looking up. Our eyes are on you, God. We move to Psalm 124 and we remember something else. Psalm 124, verse 2, it says this. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. And verse 7 says, our souls escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I read this and it strikes me so loudly in my heart. It's like, but God. But God. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, we would have been toast. We wouldn't have survived. But God. The trap was set. It was about to snap. The enemy was doing a victory dance, but God's. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Just like that. We were just about to be caught. And the snare is broken. We are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And we can remember times where we almost were caught, trapped, snared by the enemy. But the Lord made a way where there was no way. He gave us a way out. And that may be what we're facing today, where we look at our lives and look at places and say, man, the enemy, I could see it was a trap. I can see this is a trap. I need to get out. It's not just our own ability to get out. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Moving on to Psalm 125. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, verse 2, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. We're reminded of this as now Jerusalem comes into view. As Jerusalem comes into view, we see the mountains surrounding Jerusalem and we're reminded. And they renew their faith and their declaration, their trust in God as they declare, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. And they say this both now and forevermore. We used to sing a song, I don't know the last time we sang it. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to the Lord. It belongs to you, Lord. It may look like I'm surrounded, but as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surround his people, both now and forevermore. Loved one, he's got you surrounded. He's got you covered. And we remember and we recite that and we sing it and we declare it. Psalm 126 says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Verse 5 and 6 says, those who sow in tears and shall reap in joy, who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who were in a dream. We couldn't believe it was true. How can this, somebody pinch me. How can this be real? But it is. We're coming out of bondage. We're coming out of sorrow. We're coming out of affliction. We're coming out of the enemy's camp. And headed to Jerusalem, headed to this place as the Lord surrounds us. It's too good to be true, but it's true. We were like those who dream. But we remember our tears, those who sow in tears. We had a lot of tears, and there are a lot of tears in life, sorrows and sadness and struggles, but God sees everyone. It says, those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Begins to talk about this harvest. We don't always know those tears are doing anything other than just showing hurt and pain and sorrow and sadness. But God sees everyone. We didn't know that when we were crying, we were planting. We were crying out to God, we were planting. And it says that when we return, when we're coming, we are bringing our sheaves with us. We are doubtless coming again, bringing our sheaves with us. We are bringing God's answers to our prayers with us. They're evident. Look what the Lord has done. It just seems too good to be true. We come to Psalm 127. Verses 1 to 3, it says this, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And it's vain for you to rise up early and sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. And it says this, for behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb is a reward. This journey was long, and maybe longer than they had expected. But we don't just need to keep slugging, keep plugging, keep being awake. Scripture in the New Testament will tell us, having begun in the spirit, we're not made perfect in the flesh. It's just not all up to us just to tough it out and keep going. God guards the city. He watches the house. He gives us rest. And unless he does it, it's not going to work. We just don't have the bandwidth. We don't have the strength. We don't have the ability to do it on our own. I remember after 9/11 happened, Secretary of State Colin Powell was asked this question. I remember seeing the interview and it just so struck me. He was was asked this, how can we prevent this terrorism? How can we prevent terrorism everywhere? These types of things never to happen again anywhere on U.S. soil. And I remember his answer. He said, we cannot protect from all forms of terrorism in every place at all times. We cannot protect against all forms in every place all the time. I thought that was one of those brilliant and clear answers to that question. And it's like this: unless the Lord guards the city, unless the Lord builds the house, we can't do it. We are outgunned, we are outnumbered. Who knows where the enemy may attack? But if the Lord guards the city, we can rest in peace. We can sleep. Behold, he gives his beloved sleep. That's the context. And then it says in this psalm, in the midst of it, he blesses us with fruitfulness. These kids that would have traveled with them and traveled back with them, unless you're Jesus and you get lost for 3 days. That was bad. The kids traveling with them, it's not going to end with us. We have a heritage. We have a heritage with our kids. And they're a blessing, their heritage. And maybe they needed to say it out loud. Kids are a blessing. Kids are a blessing. Are we there yet? Kids are a blessing. I'm hungry. Kids are a blessing. They're a heritage. Psalm 128, verse 3, it says, your wife shall be a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around the table. Verse 5 says, the Lord shall bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. It's amazing, because in this context, all you'd have to do is look around and you see such a family, such a community, such a throne. There's such an identity as they come to Jerusalem. We are family. And if your family this morning is fractured, there's hope. There's hope. He is the repairer of the breach. He is able to bring wholeness and healing to our families. But they would acknowledge as well, hey, we've got a bigger family. God sets the solitary in family. There is a bigger family than my biological family. We are the family of God, and we're surrounded. He's included you in a new family. You're surrounded by them too. And it says the Lord will bless you out of Zion. It's not just you have to be in this place, but out of this place there's going to be a blessing that's going to flow to you. It's going to reach you wherever you go. Out of this place, as we gather, there is a blessing that's going to continue. It has a reach. Psalm 129. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Verse 2, they have not prevailed against me. And verse 5 says, let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and be turned back. And still, we're talking about our enemies, because they just keep coming back in our mind. And maybe there's some visible expressions of our enemies. But he says this: many times I thought that they were going to take me out, but they have not prevailed, and I'm still standing. It's not the end of the story. And it says, let all those who hate Zion be turned back. Sometimes there's just some hangers-on that are just continually talking and talking and talking and negative and harsh and against us. And he's saying, you know what? It's time just for them to turn back, because we're going. Nothing is going to stop us from the presence of the Lord and gathering with his people on this pilgrimage. Even as we are approaching with them Palm Sunday, as we are approaching Jerusalem, nothing's going to stop us. They're going to turn back, but we aren't. We've set our course. The die has been cast. We're headed to Jerusalem. Psalm 130, and we're coming to a close quickly. Verses 3 to 7 says this: if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. As much as we look at our enemies as we approach Jerusalem, as we're about to approach the temple, as we're coming to worship, we recognize our own sin, our own failures, our own shortcomings. God, if you had marked iniquities, who could stand? I can't approach in my own righteousness. But that's why Pearl led us so beautifully this morning in communion, because we approach in the righteousness of Jesus. I am covered over in a robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. As I approach, I wait on the Lord, because it's in you and in your word that I put my hope. It says this, I watch for the Lord even more than the watchman for the dawn. So we're at Jerusalem, we can see the watchman on the walls, those who have been there all night, standing and watching for protection against the enemy. They're on guard. And you know what they're waiting for? Even in the darkest hour, there begins to turn, and they're longing for the dawn. Let's turn on the lights. The watchman on the wall, longing for the dawn, point where we're going to open the city gates, because we've made it through the night. But more than the watchman on the wall, watching it, more than him longing for the dawn, I long for you. My eyes are on you. I long for you more than the watchman for the dawn, more than the deaf to hear a song. I long for you. My hope and my trust is in you and in your word. And it says with him there is abundant redemption, forgiveness, and mercy. So we come to Psalm 133. It says, Lord, my, verse 1 through 3, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me, O Israel. Hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. We come with humility. We come as a child. Lord, I don't come in my, I didn't even get here on my own. Unless you become as a child, you're not going to enter the kingdom. We come with humility. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace, loved ones, to the humble. And so, God, I just come as a child. I don't care if I've got letters behind my name or degree, all the things, all my experiences, all my education, all my whatever. I just come as a child. I come as your child, and here I am. And God will say this in Psalm 132. We've just got a couple more psalms. Psalm 132, we'll hear the Lord say this. This is my resting place forever, and here I will dwell, for I have desired it. It says, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. This psalm, and we didn't read the verses, but this psalm talks about where it all started, where King David said, I'm going to build you a house. God said, no, I'm going to build you a house. and it would be, David would gather together the materials, but it would be Solomon who would build the temple. But look at the heart of God about this place as they're talking about the temple, as they're talking about being in Jerusalem, as they're talking about being in Zion. God's heart is this. This is a declaration of God. I will have provision for the poor, the hungry, and those in need. And there's going to be salvation, and there's going to be shouts of joy. Loved ones, God has that for you today. Has that for us as we walk through with this crowd of people, you're included. He has provision for you. He has provision for the hungry. He has provision for the needy. In salvation, we're able to have shouts of joy. Wherever there has been mourning, he can bring shouts of joy, because he's our deliverer. Last two Psalms, 133 says this. We'll read all three verses. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We've quoted this as we've come together as one church. We've quoted this over and over again. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Would you say that, life? Life forevermore. That's the blessing of the Lord's, life forevermore. We are not alone. We're in this together. And there is an anointing that comes with unity. And the Lord commands the blessing. That's why we guard and protect unity. Ephesians will tell us to strain every nerve to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's so much about being in one accord. And that's why it's so important to guard our hearts,
guard our minds, guard our mouths. Audrey was saying in our pre-service prayer meeting this morning, my dad died today, actually. It was April 6th. He used to say, the Bible says, put a watch over your mouth. Some people need a grandfather clock. That's why we guard our words. That's why we guard what we say and how we say it. To keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, God commands a blessing. And then the last psalm. Behold, bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. We believe, or many people believe, that this psalm was actually not so much the psalm of ascents on their way there, but it was the psalm that they would declare as they're leaving. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. And this parting psalm, to those who would continue to watch over God's house, don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep doing it. Continue to bless the Lord. Don't stop just because we're leaving. Oh, we're leaving back into some trouble. We're back into just because we're leaving. You continue to bless the Lord in the sanctuary. Lift up your hands. Don't ever let that stop. Praise in the house of God. Don't ever let it stop. Lifting up your hands is the evening sacrifice. It says, and we'll remember this place. And it closes with, the Lord who made heaven and earth will bless us from this place. And so we trust that the Lord blesses us from there. Even as they go, God's blessing will be upon them. So this week, I want to encourage you, open your Bibles and journey towards next Sunday. Journey towards Palm Sunday. Journey towards the triumphal entry. And when we get to next Sunday, there will be an awareness. We have done this together. You and your family, however it is, read the Psalms, sing the Psalms, 120 to 134, these 15 Psalms. Get them in your heart, get them in your life. Declare them, recite them, sing them, pray them. And when we come together next Sunday for the triumphal entry, for Palm Sunday, we will have journeyed with thousands to get to that place.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.